Christopher Clark. No, I already screwed it up. That is bit number one of our podcast Generation Goat that I fuck up the intro. We'll talk about bits in a little bit. Very fun. Hi, and welcome to Generation Goat. I am E. Christopher Clark from GeekForce5.com. Noticeably absent, my co-host, John Martin, who has been swallowed by the beast called Dissertation. If you want the gory details, you can see me afterwards. I will provide them to you. Needless to say, it was bloody. So here we are at PodCamp, our very first live episode slash presentation. And just as a gauge, how many of you are sort of coming into this? We have a big full room here for those of you who are listening to the audio version of this. How many of you here in the room are sort of new to podcasting versus, so how many of you have never done anything with it at all? Oh gosh, okay, so we can kind of do 101. How many of you have some experience? Okay, so I apologize to those of you who have some experience. We'll kind of keep it more 101, and I ask you guys, please chime in, because I probably have less experience than you do. The way that this project started, Generation Goat, my friend John and I lived, we grew up together, Chelmsford, Lowell, Massachusetts, and we're in a band together, a terrible band. You can go listen to archives of the show to find out more about that. John went off to school in England, and we didn't get a lot of chance to talk, and we found that we wanted an excuse to talk, but also do something creative with each other, and a podcast seemed like a natural way to do that. So we've been doing the show for a couple years now. We've only got 15 episodes, which shows you how hard it is to plan this sort of thing. But I think my most important note about not doing a podcast is to not do it. How many negatives was that, right? Basically, everything that I'm going to tell you about setting up and the stuff that it requires and all of that is really not an excuse to not just go out and do one today if you have an idea. I think the most important thing to come away from this with is...
He's playing Angry Birds.
Fuck, man. I'm 5 minutes into this thing.
I just showed it to him.
But here we go. All right. You just... Fuck you. You showed him Angry Birds right before my session.
I know.
What kind of friend are you?
I'm sorry. I didn't know he'd do it in the second.
Okay, no. But seriously, it brings me to one of the points that I want to make, and I'll jump all over the place, and that is... With an audio podcast in particular, it's important to think about what people are doing while they're listening, right? Some people are driving. Some people are at work at a job that really fucking bores them, and they just need something to entertain them, right? Some people are working out. Some people are playing Angry Birds, you know what I mean? So base your content on that, right? And base your length and your duration on that. That's what we're coming at. We listen to a lot of hour-longs, and that's kind of the angle that we come at. So we're recording for about an hour, a little bit more, a little bit less. I have about an hour-long commute, so that kind of factors into my brain. Now, knowing what some of our audience members are doing, there's kind of this idea of, well, maybe some of them have shorter commutes. Maybe some of them, you know, whatever. Do I want that to always be dictated by the audience? I don't know. I'm not sure that I want everything to be dictated by the audience, but I do want to be aware of them. So to get back to the original, to try to get back on track, we started doing it because we wanted to have a conversation. We wanted to do something creative together. So you need to find something that sparks you, that's going to interest you enough to sit down and talk about it for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, half an hour, however long. We needed some sort of technology to do it remotely. And there are a number of ways to do this. TalkShoe is sort of one that's out there. It's very simple. You call in. Anybody with a phone can do it, right? So it's a call-in number. It records the call. I've not used TalkShoe myself for any of my projects, but it will pretty much generate the RSS feed that you'll need to get into the iTunes store, so on and so forth. So if you're looking for something where you're going to have a conversation with people that only involves needing a phone, then TalkShoe is a great, yeah.
So is this the kind of thing you would just use your phone, dial up, and it would be
It's TalkShoe.com, and it's a great place where you can do it at a computer, if that's all you got. You can also have people call in, and it could be you and a friend, it could be you doing a kind of call-in show. Leslie, who is she runs the fucking show here. she'll give us all of us who helped organize credit, but man, that's somebody being nice. They're saying, all of my team does a lot of great work. No, she does a lot of great work, and we kind of latch on.
Yeah.
So Leslie did that for a number of shows where she would have people call in. And so TalkShoe is a great option.
Topics on Fire.
Yeah, Topics on Fire. And so you can still go out there and listen to it, I think. It's probably still
probably
out there.
Probably. On Uptown Core.
Do you know how good the quality is of TalkShoe?
Well, I think a lot of it depends on the microphones and on the setup. And that is something that John Herman brought up in his talk the other day. When talking about movies, is if your sound is shit, then you're sort of screwed. When you're doing audio podcasting, if your sound is shit, you're really screwed, because that's all you have to work with.
Although sometimes what you're competing against is so god awful.
Exactly.
Half good is really
half
good.
Is sometimes and again, I go back to my original point, which is do it if you want to do it, and all you've got is your iPhone and the voice recorder app that's built in. Do it. If you're doing it by yourself, so TalkShoe is a great option if you need to bring multiple people in. If you're doing it by yourself, audioboo.fm is something that I used for a while.
B-O-O?
You'll feel like you're misspelling audiobook all the time. And everything will try to correct you. You're typing it on the iPhone, it will try to make it audiobook.com. Ridiculous. But there's an iPhone app. There may be an Android app. I'm not sure if it's a dial-in option. The cool thing about them, for me, I was doing this podcast called the Geek Force 5 Cast, which is related to my website, and they artificially limit you to 5 minutes. it was a happy coincidence that I would always have a show that was under 5 minutes for my show that was related to a website with the number five in it. I think you can also now do it through your computer if you don't have a phone that can do it. And that is a great option because it has a built-in embeddable widget that you can put on your website. And that's one of the big barriers to entry for audio podcasts, as far as I'm concerned, is that there isn't a YouTube for audio. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Audioboo is the and before that, Utterly, which I think is completely out of business at this point. Audioboo is pretty much the closest I've come to finding something where you cut and paste the code and somebody can listen to it on your website. And it also has an RSS feed, so if they want to subscribe in iTunes, they can get it.
So it's just an icon you would click on, and it would just start streaming.
Yeah, it's a little flash widget. Okay. And pretty much built in is this. They have a text link built into it for iOS devices, for iPhones, iPads, whatever. So if I go on my iPad or my iPhone, it says. You can customize it to say whatever you want. So on my site, it says have a listen or listen here. And that will actually just load the MP3 file. Because, it's a flash widget. It's not going to work on the Apple devices. So there's a couple options for you if you're doing sort of real, just simple, TalkShoe and Audioboo. You want to go a step above that. You can get into kind of what we do. And I'll go through a little bit of our workflow. And then, please keep chiming in questions. With questions. See, I feel so much more comfortable here because I'm just doing my fucking podcast and I will make stupid noises. Okay.
Should I fill in every once in a while and rib you about how it's not your podcast? In fact, somebody else is in charge.
Yes, you okay. can. All yes. Right. And, for the people who are listening to the recording of this later, because I miss John so much, I needed to bring in a photo of him and place it here next to this console. I miss you, John. I actually think we might make this like an MST3K where he'll pause the podcast. This is where he'll rail on me for 10 minutes and just be like, the fucking asshole. All right. We used Skype, and there are a number of plugins out there. I actually don't know, and you can throw something at me, I don't know the name of the plugin that John used or uses when we still do it remotely. But there are a number of plugins that will record your Skype conversation as a WAV, or an MP3, which you can then upload to your website. For a long time, one of the hardest things we had to deal with was keeping Skype open so he could transfer me the file, and then we discovered Dropbox. So if you're not familiar with Dropbox, yep, and you're doing anything remotely, it's a lifesaver. So he puts the MP3 file that he records on his end into Dropbox. I grab it. I do the editing in GarageBand, which, if you have a Mac, is great. If you don't have a Mac, check out Audacity, which is AudaCity. I don't know if it's .com, but if you search for Audacity.
SourceForge.net/Audacity.
Yeah, it's a SourceForge thing.
Otherwise, it used to take you to a janitorial firm in Seattle when you went to.
Yeah. I mean, are there other better... We were sort of saying, well, I do all the editing, so we don't know what we would do for PC.
From an audio cleanup standpoint?
I mean, yeah.
Audacity is certainly priced right at free.
Yes.
By the way, you'll notice there are two versions. There's one that's in beta. It's been in beta for almost 5 years.
Yes.
It's okay. Grab that one. It has a lot more features.
Yeah. So you would recommend Audacity?
Audacity is fine. It's fairly intuitive. It's not super robust. It's not necessarily pretty, but it's priced. Sound Booth that comes with the Adobe CS5 tools is also okay. Right. But if all you're really doing is cleaning the audio, and most of the time, in my experience, you just need to boost the audio up a little bit.
Yeah.
It's a little too low. Mm-hmm. It'll allow you to amplify it.
Yeah, and some people will go. I had a great conversation with a guy yesterday in the hallway. You know, some people will really go through, get rid of all the ums, get rid of lots of stuff, do lots of editing. But I am of the school of thought that quick and dirty is often the way to go, especially if you're running a business, if you are an artist, you're doing a million other things, get it to good enough, and good enough can sometimes be good enough.
It's more personal that way.
It also has a limited shelf life. I mean, that's one of the things to consider. This is it's a commodity.
Yeah.
It's a disposable commodity.
And it's really, it's radio for the internet age, right? It's NPR, kind of, you know, where you might not you'll hear the, except it's NPR in your schedule, you know. You can pick when you're going to get to listen to this this show, or if you're not going to listen to it at all, and I won't be offended if you don't. That's sort of a basic overview. Another thing that I wanted to kind of get to, John wanted to kind of get to, was... we like this idea of collaboration. I gave you some options for what you would do if you were doing it by yourself, but a lot of times having that person, and that's why I thank you all for chiming in, having that person to bounce off of is what makes it more interesting. Whether you're doing an interview show where you bring someone on and you're talking to them about your topic of interest, or you have a partner that you bounce back and forth with on a regular basis, I think a two-person show, at the very least, is a lot more interesting. I think, you know, even the This American Life, where you have narrators, it ultimately involves other voices, and it ends up being a bit more interesting.
Well, and part of the dynamic of like the shows that I like to listen to is if you're listening to any of the Kevin Smith ones, is like they have a shared history that the listener doesn't. Well, at this point, the listener is firmly aware of.
Right.
Because if you've been listening to the podcast for a week, you know their entire life story.
Yes.
But even in Generation Goat, there's like this shared history where you guys make jokes all the time. The listener has no idea what you're talking about, but it's all right. Because it seems like that interplay is important because that's what you take away from it.
I mean, earlier in the weekend, I've said like my personal goal with everything that I'm doing is to make people aware that I am a storyteller worth paying attention to and then eventually paying money to. Speaking of which, what's propping up the photo or copies of my book? Just saying. Now that's the part where the law of 2 feet at PodCamp comes into play, and everyone's like, "Fuck you, guy! I'm walking out," because I just got salesy. I mean, I think the shared history thing—if you've got someone that you have a rapport with, whether you go the route of what we're doing and having that conversation about, you know, how our band sucked, or, you know, how, you know, we've been to Fun Spot one too many times. You know, whether you have that rapport and you sort of get a little bit more, please come in. You get kind of in-jokey, or you sort of have that rapport and you stay wide and you stay broad, I think either way, the fact that you like know each other is great.
I would just add to that, I mean, as someone who works largely alone, there are times when you start to believe your own crap a little too much.
Yeah, it's
really nice to have somebody to bounce an idea off. Just so you can say you're wrong.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because after a while, you're right about every thought you have right now. Great.
Yeah, I mean, I did a 12, 13 episode podcast called Here's the Story, which was me talking about my stories and then reading them, and it felt impossibly awkward the whole time. I think it was interesting. I think some people got something out of it. They liked hearing you read the stories, kind of whispering in your ear. There's a nice feeling about that. But I think it actually got to the point, and maybe this is a subconscious thing, I would yell at myself during the recordings, and when I'm going back and editing out me swearing at myself for botching a line, it actually became kind of conversational. Because, oh, wow, I remember that, yeah. Was I really that mad at myself for you know, messing up a line? So I think even when you're by yourself, sometimes that dialogue happens.
And then you need to be maybe given something. You need to take a break.
Yeah.
I need to give you a week off from work.
I mean, there's a reason that that podcast is done, and this podcast, despite being fairly irregular, continues. And
can I offer a suggestion on something here? Because something I ran into. I do an awful lot of recording by myself. I create a lot of material for students. And so oftentimes I'll be doing screencasts using something like Camtasia. You know, I have a headset on and I'm doing it. And invariably you're going to mess it up. You're not going to do one take for an hour.
Right.
You're going to make this conversation, which you're going to, usually something technically goes wrong and you have to kind of stop there and go, wait a second, we'll wait for this page to load in. What I got in the habit of doing, and my family makes fun of me for it, but I do it anyway, is whenever I'm going through something like that, I will put a tone that tells me where it broke. So you can always tell when Dad just messed up because he's upstairs going, oh, wait a second, all right. And then I'll go, beep, because when you look back on the waveform, you see it.
Yeah.
Like, oh, there's a mistake. I have to go fix that. It's really, you don't have to listen to everything. You just look for the boo-boos.
Yeah.
See, I think you just made me feel better because when I would say, fuck, that would show up. That was just my beep.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I
feel a lot better about myself.
Yeah.
Okay, so any questions so far about things that I've talked about that may be like, woo, right over your head?
What kind of equipment do you need besides a phone, but is that it?
Or well, yeah, I mean, if you're doing one of the phone-in ones, if you're doing Audioboo, or you're doing...
voice over IP.
Yeah, you're doing anything like that, just a computer with a microphone or a phone. And this is when I think a couple of people have raised this in different sessions. Don't be afraid to ask. So a couple of years ago, I wanted to get better at this, and I wanted to do something with it. And I said, look, I have no money. I want to finish this book. And one of the things I want to do is podcast it. And I put that out there using a site called Kickstarter and failed. At raising the amount of money that I needed. Kickstarter is an all or nothing proposition, so either you raise the money or you don't raise the money. I did not raise the money, but enough people saw that what I was interested in doing that one of them bought me that blue microphone that's sitting right there. Because it turned out that someone had bought her a blue microphone years ago, and she was paying it forward, to use a stupid expression, but a good expression. So she was like, you know what, here you go. And maybe someday you will, you know, pay it forward to someone else and get them. And I'm doing it free here, just telling you what to get, because I have no money still.
Yeah, yeah.
Buy my book.
Maybe she kept the microphone. The new one gave you her old one.
Yeah.
That might be it. It was nice new packaging. Instead it came from Amazon. People have good design skills.
Just a suggestion. Suggestion. I use a microphone headset that I bought at Radio Shack for $20.
Yeah.
They last for about 8 to 10 months the way I use them.
Right.
Beat on them.
What do you do to
them? Well, they get stuffed in my bag a lot because I take it with me. But it
just
plugs in your microphone and your headset port. The audio is really good.
Yeah.
Really?
And it's for $20. It's because a lot of times you try to get those lavs that you clip on and they always sound like crap.
Yeah.
They've never sounded good.
Yeah. I mean, my thought on the audio is either get a good mic or at least have good conditions for the bad or normal average mic that you have. You know, if you don't have a great one, then try to get into a relatively quiet room or whatever. But again, go back to that thing I keep harping on. Just do it. You know, with whatever equipment you have, you can start today.
Have you ever done a
Have I ever? No. Has it show?
I've been a guest on Two Life podcasts, yeah. and we did it by Skype, and it was fun because we were on Skype, they were recording it, and then we also had people chatting, like guests coming in and chatting.
Yeah,
and I think you'd be great in that format.
Well, thank you. Mm-hmm. All right, your $20 is on the way.
And I don't think it was like, I mean, the two guys running it. I don't think it was anything. There's a little bit of trial and error in the beginning of their show, but and then if I didn't happen to, they did every night live on Sundays at like 8 o'clock or something.
Yeah.
And if I didn't happen to catch it, then as soon as they put it up, I'd listen to it.
Yeah, we talked about Talk Shoe, which is one way that Leslie did a show called Topics on Fire, which was just like that. You'd do it live, and then she'd save it, and it would go up later that night.
Does Talk Shoe walk you through how to actually get this in a format you can use?
It pretty much does it for you.
It does.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I think the hardest thing about Talk Shoe that I found was getting the software installed on the computer. So now, we've done some PodCamp calls on TalkShoe where we're not recording it and releasing it publicly, but it's also a good conference call service.
Mm.
And now often I just call in with my phone, and I have the chat room open. You can have a chat room there too on TalkShoe, which can be useful for that kind of show. Cool. All right. Dead silence. I can get it out.
Well, that's another way to... you can do the beep, or you can do a long moment of silence.
A long, yeah. Anything,
yeah. Your,
anything that that create, because if you're working, I can't really turn this around because this computer will completely freak out at me if I do anything, if I move it, if I breathe on it. Anything that will show you a change in the waveform, I think is a good piece of advice. Anything that like, that's where I need to cut.
Or in the case of transatlantic podcasting, one of them just cuts out.
Yeah.
The internet says no.
You can tell who's the fan of the podcast. one thing that you will run into is problem. We, in the case of doing Generation Goat, will often have, the internet goes out in England, or the internet goes out in New Hampshire, and, all of a sudden we can't. One of us keeps talking. That I think is the funniest thing. You listen back to it and like, oh wow, we really do talk and not pay attention to each other sometimes.
Yeah.
And it just goes on and like a minute later, he's not there anymore. It's a great human thing to realize too. You sort of sit there and say, I need to listen more. The fact that I didn't notice that my friend was disconnected for a full minute.
Or until your phone starts ringing.
Yeah. Starts ringing, ring.
There's something wrong with me. The other thing that I would worry about but not worry about is a schedule. If you can keep to a schedule, that's really ideal because people know when to expect new content from you. We certainly haven't done that. This is the whole title of the session here is how not to record a podcast. So it really is a do as I say, not as I do kind of thing. If you can stick to a schedule, whether that's weekly, whether that's monthly, I think that's best. If not, it actually becomes kind of a surprise. It's like, oh, wow, there's a new Generation Goat. There you go. Yeah,
I was going to ask you about frequency. I mean, you covered a little bit, but, in your experience, is this a weekly thing? Is it a monthly thing? Is it a daily thing? Does it really depend on the needs of your audience?
I think it depends. When I did the GeekForce 5 cast, it was a daily thing. Everything else that I've done has been a weekly thing. And when I look at what I listen to for my own podcasts, the ones that I am subscribed to, they're almost all weekly. And in fact, the daily ones often end up annoying me because they pile up and I've got 6 episodes of Geek Brief TV, Geek Beat TV now. And it piles up and I just I don't have the time to listen to it. And I actually I didn't officially get that feedback from anyone that was listening to me, but I have gotten feedback from people who are of the opinion that I am in too many different places. And I have no idea where to keep track of you, Chris. So one of the things that I've been working on is narrowing it down. So I have a podcast now. Generation Goat is my podcast. If you want to listen to me blabber on once every couple of weeks, that's where you go. I have a video channel, and you can go watch my videos there. And I try to make it weekly. I mean, I think weekly is where it's at. I mean, all the NPR podcasts that I listen to are weekly. Most of the other ones I listen to are weekly. And that seems to work. And it seems to be that you could carve out that time once a week, and that feels like a natural, it's not too often, it's not too little. It's a nice balance between keeping your sanity and keeping people interested. It's kind of where I feel like weekly is at. What haven't we covered? What do you guys want to know about as I scroll through my notes? Yeah.
Why you had your friend record the Skype and then have him transfer it? Why didn't you record?
That's a very good question. And I think it became an issue of who was experienced with what. I had never really used Skype, so I had no idea what I was doing with Skype. And we are both, in our own ways, control freaks, right? So he knew Skype. He knew what to do with it. He controlled the Skype end of it. I knew GarageBand. He's on a PC, I'm on a Mac, so I had a familiarity with a program that I could sort of churn it out in the evening by putting soundtrack underneath it and intros and doing some cutting and boosting levels and stuff. So I kind of controlled one end and he controlled the other, and it just became a distribution of work thing.
Okay.
And that's another reason to do it with multiple people, because you don't have time to do all of this.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, good question.
So can you have, because I'm looking to do interviews. I'm looking to have someone on a phone who probably has no idea, you know, and me calling them via Skype, and that should be fine too. Right?
Yeah, if you're doing the recording on Skype, it's completely transparent on their end.
So
he has to tell me that he's recording.
Quality.
And
what would you be recording on with Skype?
It's a plugin on Skype that he uses, and it just outputs an MP3 file to a folder on his computer.
Oh, okay.
And I know there are a number of them. We used a free one for a while, and then he had to end up upgrading to a paid one.
Like Skype Cap.
Yeah.
Skype Cap. We use Call Recorder. It's a $15 application.
Yeah.
And it'll save a .mov file,
gotcha.
Which you can then convert to a WAV file for.
Yeah. I mean, if it saves into any format you've ever heard of, then you can get a converter in.
Yeah.
I mean, .mov, .mp3, .wave.
What's especially nice that you can, well, of course, you can also split the tracks and then.
Right.
That.
Yeah.
That's what I was wondering. So, can you split the tracks and then change, like?
You can usually split the tracks. The way we do it is you can split the tracks between the person who initiated the call and the other side of the conversation. And that helps if you want to. Sometimes it can be very helpful, especially if somebody in the second track has rather poor reception or whatever.
Yeah, that's a very good call. And that's going to happen more with an interview show than it's going to happen with two people who are always, who have that rapport, who are used to doing it.
Is there a quality difference between the different sides of the conversation? I mean, traditionally, you almost had kind of the guy who sounded he was in a studio and the guy who sounded like he was on an analog phone.
Yeah, garbled.
Yeah.
I haven't really noticed myself.
No, I mean, I have not noticed. I have the Snowball, and John is just recording to the mic built into his laptop, and I don't generally notice a problem. In fact, sometimes the problem comes from my fancy piece of equipment, because I have the speakers turned up too loud, or I get too close. If I'm wearing headphones, I get too close to the mic, and then we start with an echo problem. Sometimes, you know, if you don't know how to use the technology, then it's even worse. So sometimes what's built in, works. Now, if you've got somebody who's on a really bad connection,
right.
I think that's what these guys over here are.
Well, really I heard concerned. That levelator.com, I guess that's supposed to help a lot. I've
really,
levelator? Yeah, levelator.com is supposed to help
great.
With the... Have you guys used it?
Yeah, it adjusts the volume across. So if you've got one person that's very loud, another one soft, it brings them all the levels to the same.
The other thing that we do is we record both ends of the conversation separately. We talk over Skype, and I record, and she records separately, not listening to it at all. We communicate over Skype, but we record separately, and then she sends me her half, and I just put them together.
Do you have any issues syncing?
None.
Syncing it up? Yeah.
No.
I know. How did they just? It's every time I feel bad or kind of. What am I? I don't know what I'm doing about my podcast. I'll hear a sort of story about someone else who's I'm like, wow, somebody needs to tell them. Why don't I tell them that there's an easier way? But I think there's one podcast that I listen to where I think they record totally separately, And I think they've had some syncing issues where...
Yeah, we've never had any. And it makes it easy to get the levels better, too, because you can adjust each one independently.
Well, and it gets rid of the problem of if you're recording over Skype, I mean, all that information's going over the internet, and there's possible for degradation there. If you're recording directly to your computer and she's directly in hers, that's a very good point. That's why you should do this session.
And we Dropbox it, too. Right up to Dropbox, 2 minutes after we're done. And stuff.
I'm so glad there are smart people in here to make it. Okay. So bits. I mean, we started off talking about, I just had a moment of real extreme deja vu. I hope this is the part of the conversation, the show where it goes well. So bits. I talked a little bit about bits at the beginning. We have had sort of organic bits that have come up. The intro and the outro become sort of bits. John manages to get through the intro no problem every time. And lately, every time I have to do it, I mess something up. And the last time I messed something up, and he wanted to stop. I mean, he's sitting there. You can listen to the episode. And he is begging me to sort of like start over again. I'm like, no. I'm laughing through it, and just, you know what? I'm gonna compose myself. And so I don't know. I'll ask you, Randy. You listen to it. Has that bit become over?
It's hilarious.
It's hilarious.
No, because is it the last one? No, I think it's episode 12. I don't remember. I don't have my laptop. I don't have a laptop. There's an episode where he delivers it fine and it cracks you up and you laugh for like the first minute and he's like, I did it right. What is it? What? And you're like, I just can't do it. Every time you do it, it's fine. When I couldn't do that. That was pretty good. And so, that's the same episode too, I think, where you have to go get Melody.
Yes.
And so he's reading off the books on your bookshelf while you're away.
Yes.
That's a good bit.
That is a good
bit. But that's kind of a bit where you're like, I gotta go. And you just walk away from the computer. He's like, okay, well, I'll entertain everybody.
And I think, you know, often with him, he is definitely, he's the funnier of the two of us, but he's also the more serious of the two of us. And I think those are the bits where he kind of figures I'll edit them out in post. But I think he also knows I will never edit them out because I think the awkwardness is funny.
There's definitely that expectation when he says a thing.
Yeah.
Like all of his jokes land and they're just deadpan.
Yeah.
And your jokes are always like, I don't mean that. And he's just like, well, I'm in charge of this podcast. And I think he thinks that that's a point where you're going to go back and cut it and you never do. Because there's this thing in his voice where he's like, I wouldn't normally say that.
Yeah, right. And I think it's hilarious to get that out of him. So to get back to bits, I mean, I think the ones that rise organically are the best. But I think, and this is more if you're trying to do something funny, and obviously that's sort of where we're focused. Bits can go too far. And a prime example of that on our podcast is something called...
What you're about to say is wrong.
It's called Auto-Tuned Wolves. There was a YouTube clip that we got really, really fascinated with, where somebody basically took this footage of wolves howling in the night and ran it through La-Di-Da, an iPhone app, which not only auto-tuned it, but put a music track underneath it. So it's a priceless thing, but it got to the point where we would just rant, and obviously Rand disagrees that this is a bad thing, but it got to a point where anytime we said auto-tuned wolves, and we would just drag it out of our ass like a couple times an episode, I would cut right there, I'd put in a snippet, like 5 seconds of auto-tuned wolves, and then we'd come back and pretend like it was something that just naturally happened, that the wolves just popped up.
Some of the time it's funny though because you didn't put it in. You just say it and then you like go on to the next part without the little cut.
Right.
And I'm just like, So that's why I don't think it's overplayed. Like, I get that the joke might be overplayed for you guys recording it, but I'm like, you don't hear it half the time.
That's right. Or often, you know, I have two kids, and I have, well, I don't have a job, do I? I teach, which is a job. But anyway, so I'm often doing this in the middle of the night, and I'm just like, oh, I do not want to find that fucking file one more time to put it in here. So sometimes I do hear it in post, and I just don't put it in. Which is, I'm totally blowing your mind, right?
No, my mind's blown. Yeah.
So you just need a special effects like sampler.
Yeah, I mean, what I don't want to become is like the midday show on like sports radio where they have that soundboard. It's just like
the toilet flush. Right,
yeah, but maybe that's you, and that, you know, if that's you, and that's what. then do it.
There's an episode of Always Sunny in Philadelphia that they just recently did this on.
Where they have a soundboard?
Where they started their own podcast and they had a soundboard and then they eventually got carried away with the soundboard. That's all they ended up doing the entire podcast.
I used to do that with mixtapes.
Ultimately you do what's right for you. And I think part of the reason that we decided to retire Auto-Tune Wolves at the end of our last episode was because self-deprecation and insecurity are part of what we do. It's a reason why we titled this session How Not to Podcast, because that's part of the identity, the brand identity of Generation Goat, is that you have a couple of guys who are really insecure that they are any good at anything that they do, whether that's because, of our own personal things or because we've had enough people tell us we're stupid in our lives. It's part of the brand. And we don't consciously think about the brand, but when I'm sitting there editing, that's sometimes something I think about. You know, sometimes the decision to leave a bit in is dictated by, like, yeah, that shows us warts and all, and that's kind of what this is. Ultimately, what are we trying to do with it? I think that comes back. Why are we podcasting? We have these two websites. He had a website called Songs That Saved Your Life, which is about those songs that really... It just at a particular moment in your life just really turned something around. And I have this site, Geek Force 5, and we said, well, let's do something to sort of raise the profile here. But you might be, trying to do your, promote your business, promote a product, just have fun. I mean, there's all sorts of things to do. So, you kind of keep that in the back of your mind while you're doing it. A couple more things that I wanted to, that we've been thinking about, and we... sort of as we were coming up with ideas, listener lines. You do an interview show, you don't do an interview show, something that I've heard a couple of shows that I listened to do recently, Books on the Nightstand being one of them, is a listener line where you can, it might not be live, but you can get listener feedback. So they're doing a show about the books on their nightstand or giving you some book recommendations. Not book reviews, where they would be super critical. They really don't talk about anything negatively. Like, if it's negative, they're not going to bother mentioning it. So it's kind of that kind of show. You're always going to come away with it with too many things to read. But they're trying to stay on a weekly schedule, and one of the ways that they've done that is by having listeners call in and by playing those clips. And I've also heard that on Sound Opinions, an NPR show. And the whole end of it is hilarious, because you have these guys doing pretty... serious, sometimes funny critiques of the latest things that are going on in music, and at the end of it, you have listeners calling in and telling them that they're full of shit, not in so many, or oh, I really agreed with that, or going back and forth. So it can be a great way to get people involved if you're not doing a live show. And I'm going to get to you, and I just wanted to throw out one of the ways that we thought about doing that. Google Voice would be a great way to do that, because I think you could pretty much pull the file right out of Google and bring it into your editing program without having to, like, jerry-rig your phone up to the microphone and try to get it that way.
That was exactly my question. I was wondering, how do you get that audio out?
Yeah, well, Google Voice, I think, is a great way to do it. And I have, and it's free as far as I know. You sign up, you can even, aim for a vanity number. So mine is, I can't remember the beginning of it, but it's 5Geeks5 for Geek Force 5. The area code, God only knows where that area code is from, but you can type in and say, I want this word in my name, and it will figure out a number close to that. Lori.
I was going to say, what do you think of blog talk radio? Is that anything like a podcast? Because
I haven't listened to too many on there, but that's a service that I've heard of. I mean, do you want to talk a little bit? Anybody want to talk a little bit?
I've done some radio shows. Or, I've been interviewed by other people using that, like, 3 times recently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you call into a number, you sometimes have to give a password, I think, and then they hook you in. And I wasn't quite sure how that all worked and if that was the same thing as podcasting.
Yeah, I mean, TalkShoe is kind of like that. If you were going to start your own, you would give people out a number, and you might have to give them a code, depending on the settings you have set up. And same sort of thing. So I know Blog Talk Radio is kind of a... I'm not 100% sure, but I think it's kind of on the same level as TalkShoe.
Okay.
Blog Talk Radio is like TalkShoe. It's a live radio show, and it goes right into iTunes when you're done.
Oh, okay.
And just like TalkShoe goes in. You can have Blog Talk Radio, most likely to have the most at 5 people at a time, whereas TalkShoe, you can have almost unlimited number of people.
Thank you. I can't even do that. I'm like rolling my chair. Thank you.
She's in the bathroom back there.
Okay. Any other things that we haven't talked about? I think we're getting close to 45 minutes.
Where did the name Generation Goat come from, and what's the story behind that?
Thank you for throwing. I don't know if we've talked about that on the show. As I said at the beginning, at the top, we were in a terrible band that changed its name pretty much every practice. That's an exaggeration, but we changed our name a lot. And one of the creative things that we did sort of in the in-between days between college and when John moved off to England, maybe even on like Christmas breaks, was we wrote a screenplay about our experience in the band. And the best joke in the entire play was that the band had a dry erase board on their bass drum, and that they would just go out there and they would randomly change the name of the band. So when we were trying to come up with a name for the podcast, we went back and looked at the list, which had some of the funniest stuff, and most of them were John's ideas, as most of the brilliant ideas, brilliant comedic ideas on the show are. We were just going through, and I wish I could remember some of them. I tried to do this the other day. I was like, I love that bit, and I'm looking around for what the list was. But Generation Goat was the one that sort of stuck out to us. I mean, I kind of, in my brain, have this, have constructed this idea of why it's a good name now. And, you know, there's the whole naming of the generations that goes on now, right? And also that as both of us get into our 30s, we kind of feel like old goats. So I think there's an element of that, but that was not sort of thought about. It was just, it came from a list of fake band names. How do you guys feel about ads on your podcast? That's sort of the last thing that I wanted to get to.
This is the field research bit of the podcast, where you're like, for future, for future other podcasts.
Not this one, but no, I bring it up because, oh, go ahead, yeah.
I mean, as someone who works in advertising, I think the most important thing, anything, would make sure that the ads that you're running, if you have a choice, are relevant to your audience, as opposed to just being whores and taking money from anybody who wants to put a bet
on. Not to shoot at podcasts that have been doing this for ages and are much more successful than ours. But
you explicitly said you were going to, though. You said you were going to tear them down, so you have
to. I did say that. Kevin Smith, the filmmaker, has a series of podcasts called the Smodcast Network. And it started with this show, Smodcast, which is a conversation between him and his producer, Scott Mosier. And great podcast, still continues to be a great podcast, but sometime within the last year or so, they wanted to expand, and they went out and sought a partnership. And they wanted to do it in kind of the style of the 50s TV series, where you had one sponsor that sponsored the whole program. And who they ended up with was Fleshlight. And if you're not familiar, if you're not familiar with Fleshlight, Fleshlight is a sex toy that is built into a flashlight. And so now what happens at the beginning of it looks like a flashlight, or it looks like a beer can, and you unscrew the top of it, and
it's anatomically correct.
Yes.
So now what's happened at the beginning of their podcast is they have an ad for Fleshbot, but their ads have gotten to the point where it's them talking for so long about Fleshlight, if it was just that, it would almost be tolerable. But then what happened is they went on a tour that Fleshlight sponsored, and like half the show would become about Fleshlight. Yes, they certainly have a lot of sexual humor in their repertoire to begin with, but it feels kind of forced at times, where the ad has sort of... And it's not that... I don't even think that they are shilling for the company so much as they just get off on a tangent because this is their sponsor. And what's made it worse in recent weeks is that they have picked up a second sponsor, which is also a sex toy company. So this podcast, which used to be and still continues to be in many cases a mishmash of all sorts of things, feels very dirty up front. Mm-hmm. You know, not that I would ever listen to it in the car with my kids, but no. I might listen to it in the car with my wife, like previous to this. Mm-hmm. And now I kind of feel icky and I turn down the volume. You know, maybe I'm going through the tolls on my way to work and I'm like, crank this down for a little bit. There is a point. God damn. First you have somebody download Angry Birds on me at the beginning of my session.
Yeah.
Gonna let the laughter play out there. So that's a nice great moment. I think we're pretty much at the end of our time because I think the next session is going to start. Anybody have any last questions or concerns?
Well, just this is not a plug. It sounds like a plug now. I was going to ask about music because one of my questions about your podcast is like, is it legal?
Yes, it's a very good question, and John and I talked about whether or not to bring this up because we. Came at it from, we put music underneath ours and copyrighted music and music that I probably should be paying money to put underneath it. Because we're not directly making money from it, we had sort of read somewhere once that if we're not making any money for them, we're okay.
Certainly not worth suing.
I mean, yeah, we've got a few dozen listeners, regular listeners, and then people who are coming in based on, you know, they see keywords in a specific episode. So we're definitely not worth suing, I hope. Is it legal? I mean, I think where we pushed the boundary was we really fell in love with this CeeLo song called Fuck You, right? Which at the end of a recent episode, we loved this song so much and in a kind of fit of stupidity put the entire song at the end of the episode. Mm-hmm. Pretty much what we usually do is we fade it under at like 30 seconds to a minute, which I think if we were really going to get technical, probably falls under fair use, right? Because then the rest of it, you could not like rip that audio out and steal it because we're talking over it. Yeah. It's just sort of background music that punctuates. And this is one of the reasons I really like doing it is because every once in a while there's this magic moment where the song playing fits in with, and it's not really a magic moment because I'm listening to it and listening for the part where that song would be great there. I like that juxtaposition, but is it legal? I'm not 100% sure. And if we got much bigger, I think we would probably need to examine not doing that.
Do you keep the... I assume you have the files around, so if you had to, you can...
Yeah, I mean, I keep everything saved in GarageBand, so if I had to go back in and strip out that instrumental track, it would be really easy. It'd just be mute that track, re-export it. We're not going to get sued anymore, you know. And so one of the things we've talked about is, you know, whether or not we want to have a theme song to replace that, and that's where he's like,
not a plug,
but we put out a call and we're like, hey, any musicians out there want to record a theme song for us? And then guess who did it?
He had a vision,
and so now we have a theme song we might or might not use because we were like, I don't know, do we want to have a theme song? We're still undecided. I'll leave it. We're undersided. And so thank you for listening to this episode of Generation Goat. I'm E. Christopher Clark, and I will catch you on the flip side, which is not the way we end this podcast. See, I just fucked up the ending. Bye. Get a plug! <plug! laughs>